Beloved children of Jesus Christ, this is one of those texts in the Bible that just sweeps you off your feet. I know we already read it last week, and I told you last week that we're going to spend some more time with it because it's in itself, it's so rich and powerful. As we saw last week in chapter 11, Genesis seems to plod along describing this ordinary nomadic clan, the clan of Terah, and then focuses on this ordinary couple, Abram and Sarai, who have a tragic story. They are barren. And then suddenly, inexplicably, God breaks in to this ordinary clan on an ordinary day and speaks to this ordinary man, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing, and out of you will all the peoples of the earth be blessed." Where did that come from? As Paul says in Galatians 3, what we have here is the gospel beforehand. You might call it the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. God suddenly throws the wraps off of his plan to reclaim his broken and sinful creation. I mentioned last week that we have to remember that these Abraham stories are not really all that much about Abraham. They are about God. Nowhere is that more clear than right here. Just look at the eyes. God says, "I will, I will, I will, I will." The Lord just appears, uninvited, unannounced, to this unknown wandering Aramean, and to him God utters these grand, sweeping promises. Amazingly, God says to this landless nomad, this barren couple, "I will make you a great nation, and out of you will all the nations of the earth be blessed." Without any condition whatsoever, without any indication of any special gifts or qualities on the part of Abram, without any limit to its outcome, God promises to bless the whole world through this one man, this one couple, Abram and Sarah. My friends, if you have ever wondered what God is all about, if you ever wonder within the struggles of your own life, within the churning stream of history, what God is all about, here it is. God's solemn commitment, God's whole program, God's entire intention is to bless the world. Blessing means to confer favor, well-being, wholeness, dignity. God is a blessing God. God blesses you and God blesses me. In fact, it is God's purpose and intention to bless every single person, in fact, every single person and creature in the world. Every blessed one. Before we go any further, I want to delve into a little background. Now, background is a very dangerous word for preachers to say because it seems to have a direct connection to the yawn reflex. So for the next few minutes, if I see a yawn, I will excuse you. But what I think that in order to understand the fullness of this blessing, we need to understand where it comes from. The idea of blessing in Genesis goes all the way back to the first chapter, to the beginning. The story of creation is really a story about blessing. As each day of the creation story progresses, God says, "It is good, it is good, it is good." And then when God creates the first living creatures upon the earth, it says, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." This blessing is for all the living creatures. And then with the creation of human beings, the blessing is even more effusive and inclusive. God blessed them, it says, and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." All of God's living creatures are blessed. They are gifted with fruitfulness, with well-being, with wholeness, with God-given dignity. But that blessing of all God's creatures was distorted. It almost lost in the rebellion of creation's appointed stewards. Blessing turned to curses as sin mars the harmony of God's creation song, until the blessedness seems nearly extinct. And the bottom seems to come in chapter 6, where it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time." And then God sends this great flood and virtually starts the whole project over again with Noah and that boatload of animals. When the flood abated and they could again walk on the face of the earth on dry land, what's the first thing that God does? He renews the blessing. It says, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth.'" And then there comes that strange story of Babel. Things have progressed now. The Stone Age gives way to the age of brickmaking, and people begin to recognize their power and ingenuity and the possibilities that they have in the world. And the text says that some of Noah's descendants decide to make a name for themselves. So they build a city, it says, whose great tower reaches to the heavens. It's all about the consolidation of power, wealth, and prestige. In other words, it's all about God-blessed people who come to think that blessedness is their possession. It belongs to them. They can create that blessed city. They can produce that blessed civilization. They can make a name for themselves as the most blessed people on the earth. You hear echoes of America first, American exceptionalism. Here's the important thing. Blessedness is not just the gift of well-being and power and dominion and dignity, which then becomes our possession. As the great biblical scholar Klaus Westermann once said, to be blessed by God is not only to know God's good gifts, but to know God himself in his generosity. True blessedness is always bound up with a relationship with the blessing God. True blessedness means that we gratefully receive the blessings from God's hand and then extend it to others around us. That's not what the residents of Babel were all about. Let's make a name for ourselves. So, yawn stop now. With all this in mind, we come back to the story of the call of Abraham. God has a different plan for blessing the world, and he starts over again with one couple, one family. "I will bless you," God says, and then these telling words that in fact remind us of Babel. "I will make your name great, and in you will all the peoples of the earth be blessed." The blessing, you see, comes bound up in a relationship with the blessing God. God's program of blessing always begins with the particular, this one couple, Abram and Sarai, and then it extends to the whole world. Stunningly, almost dangerously, it seems, all of God's plans now hang by the thin thread of this seemingly impossible promise and blessing to these two people. No matter how narrow, how small, how insignificant the ways of God may sometimes appear to us, God is always working step by step in hidden and inscrutable ways that lead inevitably to the blessing of all people on the earth. And God is doing that today, now, through you and through me. That means that every blessed day of every blessed life counts. The way we live each day, the choices that we make, the actions that we take, have universal significance because they fit into God's great universal purpose to bless his creation. Both the particular and the universal of God's plan come into perfect focus in Jesus Christ. He is the promised descendant of Abraham. He is the Israelite, the true Israelite. He is the, in Christ, God promised, God's promise to Abraham takes on flesh and blood, and the universal and the particular meld into one, for through him, God's blessing will come to the whole world. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ frees us from the bondage of guilt and sin. And by the Holy Spirit, we receive the blessing of a truly human life of dignity and wholeness and love and a renewed relationship with God, who is the one blessed and blesser of all. Listen again to Paul's anthem of praise to God's loving purpose in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him. Which is Paul's way of saying, to bless the whole world. We are chosen in Christ, who is the chosen one, to be part of God's plan of bringing blessing to the whole wide world. And you can hear it again in Jesus' parting command to that motley group of 12 disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, like he said, go to Abraham. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's like God's announcement to Abraham. Through him, all the peoples of the world will be blessed. Now, I ask you, would any sensible person think that this is a reasonable job description? These 12 men, the whole world, it's not going to happen. But it did. And it can happen wherever God's people wade into the baptismal river of God's blessing. But here's the problem. As soon as God chooses one group, one people, to be the agent of his promise, the overwhelming temptation is to begin to think that it begins and ends with them. We want to turn our election into a privilege we enjoy rather than a program of which we are a part. We want to make a name for ourselves. God's chosen people, Israel, reveled in the idea of being blessed and chosen by God, but they balked at the idea of being a blessing to others. They liked the idea of God's electing love that had chosen Abraham and through them had chosen Israel. They were less enamored with the idea that God's choosing them had the goal of blessing all the peoples of the world. We are heirs of Abraham's blessing that is now embodied in Jesus Christ. And like Israel, we are tempted to selfishly enjoy our cozy little covenant blessing with God. We are God's chosen people in Jesus Christ. We are God's elect, but our election, like Abraham's, can never end with ourselves. Let's look around the church and think about how blessed we are today. We are blessed with the truth of God's grace proclaimed week after week in liturgy and word and sacrament. We are blessed with a gifted church staff with wonderful musicians who lead us in song, outstanding education programs, a warm fellowship, and the loyal support of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You and I are blessed people. And God says to each one of us in our baptism, "You are my beloved sons and daughters." God lays his hand of blessing on our lives in countless ways. Each Sunday, it's my privilege and my most treasured moment to send you out with a wonderful blessing. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. All of that blessing is not ours to hoard, but to share. We are not religious consumers, making our lives cozy and comfortable. We are here to serve God's plan to bless the whole world. From our multicultural neighbors to the apartments in the South to the prisoners languishing in jail, from the bush tribes of Africa to the burgeoning cities in China, from the struggle of peace and justice to the battle for the environment. We often hear God's people reflecting on their lives say, "Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed." And that's good. But that nice refrain can also be a kind of religious cover for a life of privilege. The question is this: what are you going to do with all that blessedness? The more you hang on to it, the less blessed you are. Being blessing shared is 1,000 times more wonderful than blessing hoarded. When I was a kid, my mother used to sing a lot around the house. One of her favorite songs was a song that I have often heard ringing in my own head, "Make Me a Blessing." Some of you remember the chorus, "Make me a blessing," join in. "Make me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing to someone today." Oops, that's wrong. "I, Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today." Kind of sappy, isn't it? But it's exactly the prayer that goes with God's blessing. "Through you will all the peoples of the earth be blessed." How do we do that? How do we become a part of God's plan to bless the world? Well, it begins, of course, when you and I realize each and every day how blessed we are, not just with material earthly things, but with the things that give wholeness and well-being and dignity to our lives. It's God's radiant smile of grace that makes our lives so rich and meaningful. And what does that blessing look like in people's lives? I was thinking about that all week, and I finally decided, here's what it looks like. It looks curiously like what Paul describes as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. It looks like love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's blessed living. To know people like that, to be around people like that, is to experience God's blessing. What if "Make Me a Blessing," with the content that we've just described, becomes the core of our agenda for every day? What if we programmed into our little cell phone calendar for the all-day event, every day of the week, "Be a Blessing"? What if our day began with that question, that prayer: how can I extend God's blessing to someone today? Who can I encourage with a simple smile and a word of encouragement? To what struggling soul can I be the presence, the loving presence of Christ Himself? To what hurting life can I bring the blessing of listening carefully, the blessing of sharing the healing words of God's grace? In what place of conflict and anger can I be an agent of peace and reconciliation? What bitter, cramped life can I brighten with a warm smile and a helping hand? What broken little acre of God's good creation can I make a little more beautiful and whole? But extending the blessing is more than an individual thing. It can happen in families. It happens in churches. It can happen in schools, in politics, in government, in business. It's not just a matter of my individual effort. It's a matter of what every institution in society ought to be about. How do we share the blessing of well-being and wholeness with more and more people? What more dignity, what more meaning can our lives have than that through you and through me, God is eager to bless his whole creation? All peoples, all nations, all creatures. We are carriers of a benevolent and highly contagious germ, the germ of God's blessing. Let's spread it around. Spread it around. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.